You know, you could have helped. I had to do all the work once again.
You know, I carried 20 bags of mulch over here, so what more did you want me to do?
Really? Was there 20? I didn't think.
Okay, maybe 18. Whatever. You know what? Listen, I was the one that said we should have watered the soil before we dug. But, you know.
Take the shovel.
Yeah. Fine.
Okay. Again, like we discussed.
Yeah.
You get grab the legs. I'll grab the arms on count of three.
All right.
You swing it through.
Ready? I got it.
One, two.
Wait.
What?
I forgot. We should probably just check his pockets really fast.
For what?
I mean, there might be something good in there. Who knows?
Fine.
Okay, ready?
If you find money in there, half of it is mine.
I found something.
What?
It is good. It says, get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/onefinalscare.
This guy works for audible.com? Holy crap. Drop the body. Let's go.
No. Welcome to One Final Scare. How's it going?
Oh, crap. What's up?
Not much. And welcome to any new listener that might be tuning in right now. This is a podcast where Minky and Tracy, that's Minky over there. This is Tracy.
It's not a video.
Huh?
It's not a video.
They can envision us in our mind, in their minds. So this is our podcast where we retell every gory detail of one horror film each week. Yes, even the very end. So sit back, enjoy the ride. And yeah. Also,
yeah,
if you haven't seen it before, what we usually say is if you don't want us to spoil it, stop the show, go watch it, come back, listen along.
Stop the show.
Put a pause on it. And today we cover Cherry Falls.
Cherry Falls.
And I think we let at least our Instagram and Facebook followers know, I think, that we were going to be watching this because...
Yeah, this movie has a special, special... place in my heart.
Of course it does. You star in it.
I don't star in it.
It's your starring role. It's your starring role, right?
I just happen to be, yeah, I don't know. I just happen to be like blurry bystander number 5.
Or 37.
Yeah, like, or 37. Blurry Asian guy.
I like
one.
Right? Like, I noticed in that scene, it was like black girl, check. Like Asian male, check. And then there was like a white girl with like curly big hair, check. Yeah, it was of the people.
Back then, they had like this diversity paper that they had to check off.
No.
And they would check. Yeah, and they were passing them around.
They were like, this is the year 2000. We are...
99 when it was shooting.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sorry. Whatever. We are about to hit the year 2000. We are progressive, and we need to make sure we show every person, okay?
Yeah, we're about to have flying cars next year. Like, oh my God, we have to get this right, this diversity thing right.
You know, this is your time. In the year 2000.
In the year 2000.
So tell me a little bit about your experience as an extra in a film.
I was supposed to be the stand-in. So in art school, I was a film minor. And one of the things that a lot of us do in our class, and our classmates, we do, you know, we'll, for extra money, we'll sign up for, like, being an extra in a movie in the background or stand-ins or whatever, you know? And back then, you work a weekend for a TV show or a movie, and they shot a lot of them in Richmond and Petersburg, and you just make extra, that's how you make extra cash and sort of, like, observe what happens, like, on set.
So
like
you didn't have to sell plasma like most of the kids that went to JMU with me?
Is that a thing? Is that really?
Are you kidding me?
No.
Yeah, and apparently my parents-in-law did it, too.
Plasma.
Yeah.
You could have just said blood.
No, plasma's different. Yeah. You don't get money for blood donations, but you get money for plasma. It's a much more, it's a longer process. Oh. They basically take your blood out, then they put it through this thing. They separate... your plasma from your blood, and then they put your blood back in you.
I think. But don't they? But the term just says you sell your blood, right? No.
No.
Oh, why didn't I know that?
Donate blood, sell your plasma. College students making a dime on it every day.
VCU kids didn't do that, I guess.
You have to sit for a lot longer. Yeah. And it's like you get $40 or 30 or 40 bucks every time you go. But how much money did you get paid for being
We digress. Okay.
You know, what I'm trying to say is you were making buku dollars on your little side hustle, weren't you?
It was
for a college student.
Yeah, it was for the weekend. Back then, it was, what, $70 for the day?
Oh,
which
shoot.
Is nothing now, right? But, yeah. It was.
What did you do with that money?
I probably bought beer. Probably bought, like, Beast.
Beast.
What was Beast? What's the beer?
Something Milwaukee's Best.
Milwaukee's Best, yeah. Right. Probably bought that. Probably just spent to drink it away.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah. So, and
so
we often did that just to see, like, get on set of a Hollywood movie.
Yep.
And to see, sort of, just learn, like, observe how things were done.
And
right?
How was it? Was it fun?
It was grueling, man.
Grueling to just do that little tiny ass scene that you were in?
I know. Well, yeah. And, like, if you just see it on film, I'm in the background, but just standing around for like 10, 12 hours.
Yeah.
Not doing anything.
Sure.
It's boring.
And so, sadly, it looks like in the scene there was not... what we figured out was it's Sybil Shepherd's daughter was in that scene. So you didn't even know it back then, probably,
no,
right?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
There was no IMDb back then for me to look it up.
You're like, this is some chick, whatever.
Yeah, and then we were like, whoa, it's Sybil Shepherd's first daughter. Well, not first daughter, but daughter.
And so, like... Yeah. Even though the scene is within a scene with the larger actors, you probably didn't see those other actors for the rest of the lunchroom scene, right?
No, they were there because they had multiple cameras, and they were sort of further away from the fight scene that happens in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
But like, I was actually cast. The casting agent called me to be a stand-in for one of the lead characters because we had the same body type, like the same height, but like. I was away. I was home.
You also used to have longer dark hair.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Yeah, and we had the same hair, right? That guy.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I was away that weekend. Came home to a message on my phone, on my voicemail, in our apartment phone. So I called them back. They're like, "Oh, they already
one message."
Yeah. Right. And they had already found somebody because they're like, they don't wait for anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
They found someone, but they were like, you can be an extra
mm-hmm.
in the scene. I was like, okay.
Cool.
Showed up. Yeah.
Was it fun? You would do it. Did you try to do it again? I always wanted to be an extra in a movie.
Yeah. I mean, that was my third time, I think, at the time.
Yeah.
Being an extra. I was also in Deep Impact.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But that scene that I was in had like 300 people in it. I mean, that was nothing. But that thing paid a lot.
Oh, really?
Back then, yeah. Oh, it was like $400.
Oh, damn.
No wonder, like, these budgets, they skyrocket. Right,
right. And there were a lot of extras in this movie, Cherry Falls. There were a lot. Because there's, like, a scene in the auditorium with a ton of parents, and then there's a ton of high school students.
Yeah.
Lots of, and it also took place, did you already say, I mean, obviously we said before you went to VCU, so you were local to the Richmond area.
The
movie takes place in a fake town called Cherry Falls, but they do make it specific to being close to Richmond. They mentioned that a couple times.
Yeah.
In Virginia. And we see a bunch of license plates, obviously.
Yeah.
And I'll say Virginia. So that's pretty cool.
Just hindsight. I mean, just thinking about it. Yeah. I mean, it was fun now thinking. But I do remember being really exhausted.
Yeah.
And I was just an extra.
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine people who had to, like, be a crew to set things up, break it down. It was a huge learning experience.
Yeah.
And Brittany Murphy was there, obviously. She was the lead.
But you didn't see her.
Yeah, I did.
You did? You saw Brittany Murphy?
Yeah, because she was in the scene.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P. Brittany. Yeah. Pour one out for our homie. So that's pretty friggin' cool. I got nothing close to compare to talk about right now. I mean, the closest thing I got to falls is that I had a pretty fucking bad fall yesterday.
What do you mean? Like, you fell on your butt?
I fell so hard on my ass yesterday in the parking garage when I got to work.
Yeah.
It was awful. I fall all the time. I fell like just a couple weeks ago on the streets of DC, like in front of a ton of cars and traffic. And I just got up really fast. I had like an umbrella in my hand, my laptop bag on my one shoulder, and a purse on my other shoulder. And that day I just kind of fell like kind of in the splits. And I was fine. But yesterday, I did. I like felt like my feet just went shoop, and I just like did. I like fell.
Why
in
are you
splits.
So clumsy?
I have no idea. I've always been this way. I no joke. I have fallen way too many times. And I've fallen on my ass more times than I'd like to. Literally cracked my tailbone, and that takes forever to heal. Yeah. And I fell on my wedding night, actually. Fell, hit my ass.
That's about right.
Hit my head, had a bloody nose. But yesterday, I fell really hard, flat on my ass. So bad. And I actually landed on my wrist a little hard, too. But the parking attendant, I'm pretty sure he was, like, petrified of me trying to sue or something. Because he washes cars in there. And so he starts looking around on the ground. I think he was, like, looking if there was water. But it's just a really shiny, slick surface because they've, like, painted it with garage floor paint. And my feet just both went straight forward. Literally, they both went out from underneath of me. And I just came crashing down on my freaking ass. And it was terrible. And it knocked, it like literally knocked my head. It hurt all day. I swear to God.
You fell back.
No.
What do you mean you knocked your head?
The heaviness of me falling on my ass. It's like the pressure went all the way up to my head. It's just like the pound of me falling. The pressure.
And then your jaw went.
I don't even think I hit my jaw. I just felt the, whatever you want to call it.
There's a force
that like made its way up through my head, and my head hurt the rest of the day. So that's the closest thing I got to connecting to Cherry Falls.
Falls, yeah.
I just fall all the time.
Tumble.
Tumbling down.
Cherry tumble.
But Cherry Falls is not about falling, is it?
No, it's not.
It's not at all.
Well, no. Yeah.
No.
There was a waterfall. It starts off as a waterfall in the beginning.
And at the end. Very interesting.
Yeah, and then transformed at the end.
Oh, my God. I just realized that. They're like, these are our Cherry Falls.
Let me be literal.
Let me be literal. So we've got a movie made in the year 2000. It was directed by Australian film director Jeffrey Wright, most known probably for his first film, Romper Stomper, starring...
Which actually is a big...
Russell Crowe.
It's a big one.
Yeah, yeah. And it was produced by Marshall Persinger, which is actually a female, so don't call Marshall a male, and Eli Selden. And it was written by Ken Selden. And it stars, as we mentioned, our late, great Brittany Murphy, Jay Moore, most known for, SNL... There was actually a show called Gary Unmarried he was in for a really long time.
Well, he had his own show at one point.
That was the one.
Oh, is that the one?
Okay. That's one I know of anyway. And let's see, who else was in it?
Michael Biehn.
Michael Biehn, yep.
Michael Biehn.
I think that's how you say his last name. Dude from...
Aliens and Terminator.
He was in Aliens? Oh, yeah, he was in Aliens. Yeah, I was like, that's the Terminator guy. And Gabriel Mann, who's... I know him from Revenge, the show Revenge.
And there's like there's characters or actors sprinkled out that you know, you recognize their face.
But you don't really know who they are.
I mean, if we drop their name, like, I don't think a lot of people would know. But like
Sybil Shepherd's daughter.
No, that guy, the skinny guy from Road Trip, and he's in a lot of those movies.
He's in there. He's one of the high school students. Yeah, I have no idea what his name is, but he's that funny looking kid that was... Road Trip? That was it?
Yeah, you're right.
It was Road Trip.
I mean, he's been in movies that are like that, like multiple movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like that.
You're right. There were a couple people actually that were young.
Douglas Bain is one of them.
Okay,
You know.
So it was a starter film for a few people. I don't remember how many movies in Brittany Murphy had done since when she got to this one.
When did Clueless come out?
It was definitely before the year 2000.
Yeah, it was early 90s.
So she was already pretty popular.
95?
I have no idea.
Something like that.
Okay. But she actually, I kept like doing her impersonations of her the whole time we were watching this, right? Like she does this thing. It's just her thing where she'd like blink her eyes pretty fast. And you guys know what I'm talking about. She'd like blink her eyes and she'd kind of do this thing with her mouth and she gets like very serious about stuff. And she did that throughout the whole movie. I'm like, God, this is so her. Like I miss her. I miss... what she kind of brought to some of her roles, though she always put off this like weirdness about her. And I'd love to know if that some of that was her in real life, right? Like she was weird in a couple of the scenes with her boyfriend in this movie.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've seen that in her in so many of her other movies. I'm like, I wonder what she was like in real life.
Clueless, 95.
95, you were right.
Bing, 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 bing. Winner, chicken dinner.
All right, you get a chicken dinner. So, you know what? I'm not going to fight this anymore, Rinky.
What? Let's get right to it.
Let's get right to it.
Yes.
You know, because as you pointed out, if Trevor Noah says it on his show.
Says it all the time.
Then what's stopping us from doing the same?
Right. We're not better.
Redundant? Uh-huh. No. It's called, we have a format. We're going to stick to it. So I actually did not take any notes this time because I just wanted to sit back, drink my cherry blossom lager that you got us.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad that I got to drink yours as well, since you didn't like it, because I quite enjoyed it.
It was disgusting. It was so sweet. It was like melted nowlaters and beer.
It was so good. It just tasted straight up like cherries. I was very much enjoying it. But you took some notes to keep us on track just in case we need it. But the movie starts out like your typical teenage...
Well, a lot of things were typical in this movie,
right?
Your
typical teenage slasher film, right? You've got a couple in a car, next making
to,
out.
In a lake. Next to a lake. In a lake.
In a, just inside
the,
of the lake.
The car is in the lake.
They're next to the lake.
Yeah, they're next to the lake.
And you've got some heavy petting happening.
And then the girl's like, no, don't. No, I'm not into this.
You know what? I'm gonna scratch your face with a fingernail.
She did scratch.
I don't want you to touch me there anymore.
I'm gonna leave a mark in your face. Leave some DNA, so just in case.
Right.
It was just so weird. It was weird. And so she steps out of the car, and then he like
coaxes her back in.
Yeah, and she's like, "Oh, you're right. I'm in. I'm back."
And what does he say? He says like, "Hey, look, we're virgins. Like, I want to lose my virginity to you." Oh, you know what? That's the other kid. I don't know his name. Unless that was the guy's name that you just read off. But he was the kid that was the Eliza Dushku's brother in Bring It On.
Oh, right.
So he was only in the movie for...
Jesse Bradford.
Yeah, Jesse Bradford. Yeah. He's only in the movie for just this small scene. Because as he's trying to coax his girlfriend to get back in the car and come have sex with him so that they can lose their virginity, a car pulls up behind them.
Yes, the car... pulls out with the lights on.
Yep, right? Blinding them.
Yeah, blinding them. And boyfriend jumps out.
Yep.
Says, "Hey, man, what's going on? Mark, is that you?
Yeah. Why, are you trying to mess around with us?"
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, he gets close to the car, and the killer opens the door, hits him with the door, knocks him down, and immediately jumps on him and starts to stab him.
Slash, slash, slash.
Slash, slash, stab, stab, stab.
Yeah.
And the girlfriend's like, "No, run, run!"
Or whatever her name is.
I thought she said run, but his name's Ron.
So she's locking all the doors, and she's like just sitting there like a sitting duck. And she's got nowhere to go because they're parked in front of the lake, and then the car's behind them. So she wouldn't be able to like get out anyway. And so all of a sudden she starts hearing someone at the driver's side door on the ground, and it's her boyfriend. He's like begging her to open the door, and she calculates the situation for quite a while, and he's begging her, and she finally just, as she's crying, like unlocks the door to let him in, and she opens the door, and he's all bloody, and he's trying to pull himself up, and of course this long-haired murderous person comes up and just starts slashing him again, and then
finishes the job.
And then it's like we're seeing kind of first person stabbing of the girl as she's cowering, you know, like,
and she jumps out the other side. She opens the door, jumps out the other side of the car, mm-hmm. and the killer grabs her.
Yep, pushes her up against a tree.
Tree, and then didn't
the, and it zooms
doesn't
out.
Doesn't the killer like kiss her?
Yeah, it's
first?
Really bizarre because like this, it's long black hair like covering, you know, this person's face, and they're wearing a black skirt, nylon stockings, and boots. And then you see like this hand with red fingernails kind of grab the girl and then plants a kiss on her, and then the movie cuts to the credits, right?
Yeah.
Or just the title scene.
The title scene.
And
then it goes immediately to another scene.
Like, I was like, are we in Groundhog Day now? Because it's like, wait, it just, hold on. There's another car with another set of teenagers kissing. I'm
making
wait,
out. And it's our hero, main character, Brittany Murphy.
Yep. Brittany Murphy and kissing in
her boyfriend.
The car.
And it's immediately
same situation.
Yeah.
Hey, baby.
He wants more. And she's like, no.
I want to lose my virginity to you, please.
And she's like, no, not yet. Playing all coy. And he goes,
you know what? We got to talk.
This is not working out. I want to break up.
I think we should break up.
What an asshole.
I like kind of had a moment where it took me back to 17 years old.
Yeah. It's
I think
ridiculous.
I've definitely had that line before. Come on, baby. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a while. Why don't you give up the goods?
And then she's like, no. And he goes, okay, it's over. Bye. Bye.
Well, no, not even that. But her mother walks up to the driver's side door and does this weird thing like, hey, kids, flirty, Jody.
Flirty talk, right?
It's the weirdest exchange between her mother and her boyfriend here as she's asking if he has a cigarette, to which he gives her one, to which they just like are very, have weird exchanges the whole time. I'm like, okay, what is he going to try to like get laid by your mom now?
Yeah.
Super weird.
And so they, you know, she ends up leaving, like getting out of the car and walking back to the house with her mom. And she goes inside. She goes to a room, which is dark. She, you know, she goes into a room, closes the door, and her father jumps out of a room like, Remy Ben, what were you doing? And just like interrogating her, and then grounds her for like being out with her boyfriend, making out in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Freaking ridiculous. Who does that?
I mean, dads, especially police dads.
Fine, but like hides. How long was he there? Like in the like closet under the bed? Like was he there for hours? He didn't know when she was going to come back.
I don't know. Look, man, if a young teenage girl's out past curfew, like I used to do, parents get pissed. Yeah.
And then
I don't know if you had a curfew, but I had a curfew.
I didn't.
Okay, no. I did. And I used to like legitimately get in trouble if I would come home just a few minutes late. Yeah.
And so, and then she falls asleep and she wakes up, and I remember this, the clock said 3:13. I don't know if it means anything. She wakes up, she doesn't even wake up. It's like sleepwalking,
she's
right?
She's sleepwalking. Her eyes are closed all the time.
And she walks up to her window and I mean, she doesn't see it, or maybe, but we see the father gets into his police car and then drives away. And she goes, Dad? And she looked in the camera and she goes back to sleep. And then next scene that we see that he is called to the crime scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the lake.
It's that night?
Next morning.
Yeah. So they see the girl from the very beginning. She's kind of strung up on a tree. She's been nailed to a tree and she's got slash marks all over her. And they just make a statement
like,
clothes
is missing when she's in her panties and bras.
Yeah, her clothes have been kind of ripped off. But they make a comment to say she was not raped, but she had all these holes throughout her entire body that she was bleeding out of, which means she was alive the whole time. So we've got a pretty torture.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, we've got a torturer here on our hands, right? And so what, school starts the next, school starts that morning. And
we're back at school, yeah.
Yeah, we're back at school. And
everyone's shocked. And Brittany Murphy is back at school. She's walking up to her school. And they introduce her like gay best friend. You know,
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he says like the whole school is just dumbfounded, like shocked
mm-hmm.
of the event of the two students that was murdered near the lake. So everyone's sort of mourning. They go to class and the teacher sort of like, you know, let's discuss this. Let's talk about what's happening, like how you're feeling, how you're coping with it.
Yeah, and I think so. Brittany Murphy. We're not even using her name. Her name's Jody, right?
Yeah, Jody.
So Jody Brittany Murphy. She's in class with a teacher, her English teacher, Mr. Marliston, and essentially her dad comes into the class. The cop comes into the class, which I believe Mr. Marliston kind of asked the cop to come in and kind of talk to the students and tell them more details about the murder. The murderers.
Well, and then he's trying to get tips, right? Do you know who could have done this?
Yeah, like what happened? Did like, they, can you divulge just, yeah. some of the information?
Do the kids have any enemies or?
Yeah, because if you do this, this might eliminate, you know, the possibility of like secrets or something like that within the class. So anyway, the cop, dad cop basically tells the students some things and it kind of incites a little bit of some interesting dynamics between the students.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, it cuts to the cafeteria scene where Brittany, Jody's friend.
Brittany Jody.
I know. Jody's friend, she's trying to hook her up with like a boy, right? You remember that? She's like, hey, you know, let's go sit next to them.
Yeah. So Brittany Murphy, she's telling her best friend about how Brent. No. Mm-mm. What's her boyfriend's name? What's the boyfriend's name?
Oh, Kenny.
Kenny. I'm sorry. Like that, yeah. Sorry for all that. Yeah. So Kenny, she's telling her best friend how Kenny dumped her last night.
Yeah.
And then quick transition. She's like, but you know what? You've been staring at that kid across the lunchroom all year. let's just go over and hook you up. Like, let's go over there. Yeah. So they both, she's like, no.
And these are like hot, like these are like losers, burners, right? Or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
so they go over these like stoner like, kids, even though they don't look like the typical yeah. stoner kids at all. I mean, this kid is like way too, he just did not look like your yeah. typical year 2000
stoner. And didn't even
stoner.
Dress like anybody.
No. Like he had like school. A like a fancy pea coat on and shit. I'm like, this is not, the, yeah. I was in school in the year 2000. Okay, yeah. This is like, that's not the typical burner. But anyway, so they go over to this kid's table, and this kid you can tell has got the munchies. He's like high in school, and the girl, her best friend, she's like doesn't really know what to say. She's a little awkward.
Yep.
And basically in the middle of all this, a fight breaks out.
A girl runs in the cafeteria.
Sybil Shepherd's daughter.
Yep. And then like pushes a guy who's just getting his lunch, you know, and basically what's happening is clearly he is spreading rumors that, you know, like that she has been that she's been promiscuous
with him, right?
With other people as
oh,
well.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. And she's pissed. So she punches him, and there's a fight breaks out. And there's this Asian guy in the back who's like all blurry.
And his name was Minky. Yeah. And he got paid $140 for like a hot second
during this fight.
Yeah. So that's the fight scene. And then, so like we're seeing that there's differences between teenage students about sex, right? Like that there's issues happening. So it's kind of a theme that we begin to see, right? We see a bunch of it so far in the first, like, what, 10 minutes? Less mm-hmm. than 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm. And then it cuts to like that night. And it's the same girl who got into a fight. She's at home. Her parents they leave for like a nice dinner.
Date night.
Like a date night. Mm-hmm. And she's like, bye, have a good nice night, whatever, da da da. And then we're watching them in a point of view of the killer who's like sitting in a car. Like,
waiting.
Oh, yeah, waiting.
And as the killer walks up to the house, we follow this person again with the nylon pantyhose and the black skirt and the boots. And the doorbell rings. And
he knocks on the
door. Or knocks, whatever. And the high school student, the high school chick, it's like, who is it? And this person's like, hey, and I'm here.
She was like in her pajamas.
Okay, yeah. She's a high school student in the movie, you nasty, dirty dog.
Yeah, but she wasn't.
Okay. Sybil Shepherd's daughter was how old in that? Like, let's Google that. Just kidding. Okay, so basically, the killer's trying to get in the house and, you know, scamming this girl to open the door, which she stupidly does. And as soon as she finally opens the door, she basically like gets her head pulled through the door, and then the door just starts slamming on her head so bad. And even though the little chain lock is on the door, the door just gets pushed open, and you just know she's about to like really get murdered. And then of course the parents come home drunkenly, and they're all like flirting, and you know, like they had a wonderful time. The front door's open. They walk in. They start calling their daughter's name, and they look up and they just scream. So we don't see it until we see the next scene where the cops are in the house taking photos. Yeah. But she's basically like hogtied in a way up on the like ceiling chandelier or something.
Yeah, but like what she's tied to, it looked like a wagon wheel. Like,
right.
Like
that's
a
what
wooden
people
wheel.
Have yeah. sometimes for their like lighting, right?
Yeah.
So she's like, and I go, oh my God, come on.
But
whenever there's like
it didn't match the house though. It didn't, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, what?
Whenever there's a scene where somebody's like gone through lengths, what was the, oh my God, what was it called? Death bell. Like, remember it was like these elaborate things where it was like bodies were hung up from ceilings. I'm like, who in the hell has time or the strength or the effort to put into such
killers?
This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. I would be the laziest fucking killer.
Well, they teach these things at killer school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah, like, how to make knots.
I'll tell you one
thing.
And
how to use pulley system to bring bodies
up.
Let me ask you this.
See that chandelier behind me in your house? How long did it take you to figure out how to install that thing without a ladder?
I didn't. I paid someone
exactly.
to do it.
Exactly. So as high
but
as
someone
that,
did it.
As high as
someone
that chandelier was, but they had a ladder. Stop cutting me off, okay? They had a fucking ladder. This guy, how's he going to get up there? How's he going to get up here?
Okay.
Implausible.
No, I get it.
Okay. Yeah. It's stupid. So stupid. Anyway, so we got another dead girl. And I think we probably missed something, but she definitely was not actually having sexual relations with her boyfriend or anybody else. So anyway, she's dead. All right, so body count is slowly rising. And so then the next day, I think...
Well, before the next day, I'm sorry, because I need to mention this, because there's a scene.
Remember this,
important.
By the way, when you tell me not to tell all of the details.
Yeah. No. No, because this is important, because she does this move a couple of times throughout the movie. It's her special move. So it cuts to a Jody at home with her father, and her father is teaching her self-defense moves, okay? So this is sort of like foreshadowing, right? Mm-hmm. She's like, he's like teaching her Aikido or something, like judo move, to like, when someone comes at you, you do this, and like, they'll trip or fall over. And then...
I'm pretty sure this is jiu-jitsu.
And it wasn't jiu-jitsu.
No? Mm. Oh, I feel like Jeff has taught me these friggin' moves before.
So anyway, so he falls. But then there's a scene where he like trips and falls on top of her.
It is so, so creepy. They like have a moment where they just both look at ground. Each other on the ground. It is so weird. And you like rewound it and made us watch it again.
I was like, I love
what?
This scene.
No. Stop being weird. I'm leaving.
So, and then the phone rings and then breaks up their little moment, right?
Right. And the phone rings because he just found out there's another dead body.
Not he found out, but then...
Well, the cop. He's a cop.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying.
He
the
just
phone
found
rings because the station calls him.
And he finds out there's another dead body. I'm not wrong.
But that's not why the phone was ringing.
What?
The way he said, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I can't stop laughing.
I don't understand.
Next day.
Okay. May I proceed? The next day... Essentially,
the autopsy.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's an autopsy. And the bodies basically are all.
This is where they find out that she wasn't. That she wasn't.
The body has the word virgin carved into her body.
Yeah.
So just in case you didn't know, people, here's a dead body with the name virgin.
Dun, dun.
So this is when I'm like, oh shit, we got a little bit of a flip flop in the typical horror. Tropes or rules, right? It's like, usually if you have had the sex, you die first. The virgins usually make it out alive. This movie, we're just gonna go ahead and flip that on its head. So we have a situation on our hands, right? And parents need to know that virgins in the town are dying. So we have a parent teacher night, right, in the auditorium.
One more.
Are you gonna be okay?
Yes.
Okay.
But you remember the scene before he has the auditorium scene? He comes into her bedroom.
Please do me a favor. Tell another detail.
No, but this is fun. No, remember he wakes her up while she's sleeping and he's like, he asks her how far he's gone. But she's gone. You remember? He goes, tell me. Like, he's like, how far have you gone? She goes, what are you talking about? She's like, in bases. Like,
yeah. Have you made it to first base? Second base?
So awkward.
Have you been the pitcher or the catcher? Do you know what I'm saying? No, he didn't say that. But he did say in terms of bases, how far have you gone? And she's like, he goes, Dad, what? And he's like, have you kissed a boy? And she's like, yeah. And he goes, can you go further? And she's like, yeah. I'm like,
this is
what?
So creepy.
And
with me?
And I guess if you want to tell even more details, the reason why he did this is because when he's standing in the autopsy room and he sees the body with the word virgin, we see his mind have all these flashes of all these dead kids that are all virgins. And then he has like a brief picture in his mind of his daughter. So then he runs home to ask her, like, are you a virgin? So essentially, he tells her to go have sex. He's basically giving her permission. And she goes, didn't she say something like, but are you going to be disappointed in me or something like
something
that?
Like that, yeah.
And he's like, no, like, love you. Bye. Like, I don't want you to die. So go get deflowered, basically. Okay. So then the next scene is where the teachers are telling all of the parents in an auditorium that all of the virgins are getting killed in town. And that basically their suggestion is that the kids should have sex.
Yeah. And Timmy, is Jody's gay best friend. Mm-hmm. They both sneak in because they wanted to know what all the parents are talking about. Why are they having this sort of meeting?
And so they're kind of listening through
like a little
vent. Of course. Every high school movie or scene in a high school, there's always vents where you can see through and hear something. I don't remember these vents, but you know, whatever.
So they find out exactly what's going on.
And then Timmy asks to borrow Jody's cell phone, which was a pretty archaic cell phone, if you can imagine, from the year 2000. And he goes into the stairwell to make a call. I guess he wants to like tell people what's happening, right? Because none of the students are there.
Yep.
And Jody is kind of left behind. And so when she goes downstairs to kind of follow after him, she can't find him. She can't see him at all. And then she finds this locker and it says virgin on top of the locker. And guess who's inside of the locker?
Timmy.
A bloody dead Timmy, which is so sad.
And he falls out
on top of her.
His head falls right on her crotch.
His head does like fall right on her crotch. It's like really awkward. Yeah. And then just after that, like the killer pops out. And the killer starts attacking her.
Stab.
But she really runs for her life. The killer's like chasing her down the hallway, like up and down the hallway, like, you know, the long black hair with, and by the way, it's got this like crazy white stripe, like
a highlight.
Yeah, but what's the X-Men Rogue? Yeah, it's like a Rogue stripe, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So this crazy killer is chasing her down the hall, gets into this crazy science classroom, which I'm like, I need someone to write us in and tell me if you've ever had that science classroom that had all of the beakers and the cool weird shit. Lighting. I mean, I didn't have a science classroom that had anything in it. It just looked like every other fucking classroom.
And a big like shark.
Huge shark. Like a museum.
Ceiling, yeah.
Shark dangling, hanging from the ceiling. Like what? Ceiling. And there's like animals in aquariums and like, I don't even know if they set that whole thing, because you said you knew this school in Richmond. Like, I don't know.
It was a middle school.
I wonder if that middle school really had all that shit, or if they went, if this, like every other teenage high school movie, decked out the science room like it was the coolest place ever. But anyway, she's
throwing beakers at him, like test tubes.
So the reason why I said all that is because like there's plenty of things to throw at him and glass. Yeah. And she's really putting up a good fight, and she's using some of her moves. And at one point she kind of like throws him and slams him into some glass case. And at this point she takes and by the way, he's got a huge knife, right? Yep. And he does kind of cut her. I think he like slices her thigh a little bit, like where her femoral artery would be.
Yeah.
And she takes a box cutter and thinks really quick and does like a freaking Indiana Jones kind of move, where she like pew, pew, and just like slaps the string.
Yeah, she cuts one of the string, and the shark swings down.
Perfectly hitting him.
Knocking him down.
Knocking him down. So she runs out, gets away, and she starts screaming. All right, you know what? I've just got something to share. So the killer, as we've been trying so hard to keep anonymous, we're not going to give it up. We're not going to say who it is, but we cannot stop saying him. Okay, it's driving me fucking crazy. This person is dressed up like a woman, but it's not a woman, and we cannot stop saying him.
The thing is,
and so that we don't.
You decided I want to see Minky in this, you know, in this role that he is in, and you decide to rent this movie or buy this movie.
That he's in. Yeah.
And you decide to watch this movie. 5 minutes in, as soon as you see the killer, you're like, "That's a man in drag,
dressed as a woman." Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
it's not giving anything away.
Right. Now we've gotten over that. So now if we accidentally say man again, we don't feel like we have to edit it out, because like, come on. All right. So anyway, so she screams loudly, and boom, her dad and all these other teachers run out, and parents, and they find her, and she's screaming, and she's like, Timmy's been killed. The killer's downstairs. Like
He's inside.
Or he's inside. Yeah, he's here. Or she's here. And she does keep saying she. I mean, so at this point, everybody thinks it's a female. And
except the viewers.
Except for us. Yeah. But so she's like, she's here. And so they go and chase after and try to find this killer, to no avail, of course. So at the police station, Jody's there, and she's, you know, being consoled.
Forensics computer, which was amazing.
Yeah, putting together a profile of what this person looked like. And her father basically picks up a telephone to make a call in a private room.
Oh, you don't want to talk about the computer software?
Not really.
It's kind of important, but
go ahead. Sure. Okay, so they build a composite sketch, and then what we were joking is, people like us in design, we hate when there's movies that make things look plausible that are not plausible or possible with technology. So they make this sketch, and all the composite drawer computer person has to do is hit a button that goes like side profile. And it's like a whole just drawing.
A whole different drawing. Like this computer just drew another nice like sketch.
And we just start cracking up. We're like, that's not even possible. But let me ask you this. Why is that important?
Because it was that image, that sketch.
Yeah.
It looked exactly like that one photo on the newspaper.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why her father yep. the next scene.
And the next scene goes to make a phone call.
Yeah.
So her dad takes the police sketch and he seems very shaken up. And Brittany Murphy / Jody is like picking up, intuiting that her dad is not himself.
Yeah.
So he goes into this secret room, not secret, secret room, his room, office. Secret it's not room. Secret room at all. It's windows. Yeah. You can see right into it. And she's watching him and she sees he picks up the phone to make a call. And so she picks up the phone to listen in very gently, very carefully.
Could do that back in the day.
Could do that back in the day. And speaking of moms and being a teenager, my mother used to do this shit to me all the time and listen in on my conversations and wait until the very, very end.
What?
Do you want to know? I still have a piece of paper where she was taking notes. She seriously was taking notes. And then I got in such trouble because
what were you talking about?
I was talking to a guy. It was me and my best girlfriend. We used to call like boys all the time. And he was cursing and like we were bad mouthing people and, you know, talking about
losing virginity.
Probably. I was like, oh my God, will you hook me up with Mikey? Oh my God. And then, so she came upstairs and it was like the wrath of my mother. And she was just like, who is Jason? I want you never to speak to him again. Yeah. So, yeah.
After 20 years, nothing's changed.
What do you mean? What does that mean? Nothing. I don't even get it.
Still talk shit about people.
I don't. Right? No. I'm kidding. I was not. I was mainly just trying to get him to give me his best friend's phone number. That was all. I got it. Just saying. Essentially, she hears him saying to her principal, because she knows his name. And so she hears him saying something to her principal that Tom Sisler, I guess, is his name, that there's a suspect. And the suspect's composite drawing looks just like Laura Lee Sherman. Yep. Who's Laura Lee Sherman? We don't know yet.
Yeah.
But the two that are on the phone are like obviously a little worried. And Jody's like wondering what the heck's going on. And then the dad looks out and sees her on the phone and she just quickly hangs it up. And he gets really freaked out.
What are you doing?
He's like, what were you doing? Were you on the phone? And she goes, no, I just picked up the phone to call mom. But I couldn't get a dial tone or whatever. And he's like, did you hear anything? And she's like, I didn't hear anything. So of course she's lying. So basically, back at school, now Jody's gone back to school, and her boyfriend / ex-boyfriend, Kenny. What, did I miss something else?
Nothing.
Okay. No. Her ex-boyfriend / boyfriend, Kenny, comes back, and he's like, Jody, like, I almost lost you. And so he's like, listen, there's a party tonight. I want you to come. He's like, I love you. I really love
you. Hey, Tracy.
What?
What's the party called?
It's like the cherry popping party or something.
Pop the cherry party.
Pop the cherry party. I took a photo and posted it to our Instagram
page.
What
was the illustration? What's the poster look like?
It was two cherries with faces.
And
they were having the sex. Limbs. They were having the doggy style sex.
They had like arms and legs.
Yeah, they were like little characters having
doggy
some
style.
Sex.
Doggy style. Having some cherry sex.
Cherry sex.
Popping the cherry.
Oh my God. So he's like, look, I want you to come tonight and I really do love you and I'm so glad you didn't die today. And so I guess she kind of says yes to it, although she looks a little like, I don't know, not totally sold on going to this party.
And she heads to the library.
Yeah. So she goes to the library and what?
Do our listeners know?
What, microfiche is?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know our entire age group. I know when we did some of the advertisements through Facebook promoted post, it was like 18 through 26. And then there was like this gap of 30 year olds. And then we had like 38 to 45 year olds. So
yeah,
I think.
Want to explain what that is?
The 38 to 45 year olds definitely know what it is.
Yeah.
Well, basically it's.
To take a photo of a newspaper.
It's a weird looking kind of computer thing. Yeah. And you can scroll through with this turny knob over. You have to scroll through all of them though. And it's basically a history of all of these old newspapers. And so you can put in like a time period. What do you call it? Like it's a reel. It's a reel. And it has negatives, to your point, of copies of all of the newspapers. So I guess you would pick a date or a week or whatever for a certain newspaper and put it in. So she's scrolling through to find someone.
This is what we had before Google, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Y'all? Legitimately, we had these in our library in school. Yeah. And I have to use them all the time.
All library.
Research papers, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, so she's going through to try to find somebody by the name of Laura Lee Sherman. And she does. She finds a picture of Laura Lee Sherman. And of course, of course, the hair, black, long white stripe.
Exactly like the illustration.
Just like that composite sketch, which is ridiculous. And it was like a high school photo because she had like the black, like the things that people used to have to wear in high school photos back when like my mom was in school, where it was like the off the shoulder black dress with like a little necklace on. So you knew it was her high school photo. Anyway, so after that,
after that scene, the sheriff talks to one of her, one of his subordinates. He says, I'm going to go out to West Virginia, to do some investigation.
I need to check on something.
Check on something. Mm-hmm. Right. She's like, what are you doing? I just got
to
do it.
I just got to go to West Virginia. Okay. Get off my back.
So he goes to West Virginia because the principal basically says to him, like, what do you mean? Like, she moved away. Lorena moved away to West Virginia like 20 years ago and we haven't heard from her. Like, so he goes out to find out like if she's still out there, if she's the one that's killing, you know, getting revenge or whatever, you know,
exactly.
He goes out there.
And revenge for what? You're still not totally certain until essentially we see Jody speaking with her mother now. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of like, Mom, I need to ask you something. She's like, who is Laura Lee Sherman? And like whatever happened to her? And the mom just gets like really kind of sick looking. She doesn't really want to talk about it.
Yep. Sad.
But what we find out is Laura Lee was a girl that they all went to school with. And Laura Lee was
those weird kids. Outsiders.
And unfortunately, there was a claim that she was raped by four teenage boys.
Drunken seniors.
Yep, drunk.
Yeah.
And so basically she says to Jody that two of the boys moved away and that two are still like in town or something. And Jody's like, who were they, Mom? And this was like Brittany Murphy, like doing her thing, like, Mom, tell me who they were, Mom. Yeah. And like doing her like eye flickering
thing. It was twitching.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. And, her mother's like, I don't want to say it. Don't make me say it. And then she says, it was your principal. And it was your father. So that sucks to hear. And so she's like, but then she kind of like retracts what she just said. And she said something like,
he was the one
who saw it, but like didn't want to tattletale on the three friends that she had sex with. So it was like they tried to she had sex with three boys and they were all just drunk.
He's the one who reported to the police. But he couldn't snitch on the three boys.
I don't know. I thought that they denied it, and then basically she left the city because she couldn't be there anymore, and then nobody ever saw or heard from her again. So once Jody kind of finds this out, she is extremely upset about everything, right? And she goes to Kenny's house, and this is just a really. I think she's basically trying to. She's upset that her parents basically have lied about something or kept something so dark from her and that it was about sex. And so she goes and basically tries to, I think, break her chastity, you know, in a way, and to revolt. And she goes over and she goes to Kenny's house and they're laying in his bed and she starts being extremely pushy on him. She starts shoving her toes in his mouth. They start sucking her toes. She's like, suck it harder, bite it. And I'm like, what in the flying fuck is going on?
This version has already turned 180, right? To this sadomasochist.
Right. Yeah. She's like, bite it. And she like starts kicking him in the face with her other foot. And he's like, what are you doing?
Slapping him
right. So then she like takes her shirt off and she gets on top of him and she's very, come on, you know, you just want to do it. Like, let's just do it. And he kind of grabs her and he's like, look, I don't want you to have sex with me because you're trying to revolt against your parents. He's like, I want to have sex with you because I love you and I want you to want to have sex with me. And then this totally turns her off and she's like, whatever, I'm out of here.
It's a bizarre
scene. It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
And then so she puts on her clothes and she leaves and he tries to grab her and hug her and it's so like
and she's
sad.
Like,
get off me. I don't want your love. And so
it's awkward.
Basically, what has happened is all the kids are starting to plan within the school day this sex party.
Partner up
cherry
popping
party. And there's a news news anchor, like outside or whatever, reporter standing outside. And so he's like, they're being filmed for like local news. It's like students inside of Cherry Falls High School are planning a virginity losing party tonight, you know? And then like, of course, the bell rings and all these horny ass teenagers come running out. Now just go back in time for a minute and tell me, did you have a high school full of fucking virgins? Because I did not. Like, I did not. They were not, it was not like, there was definitely more kids that were having sex than not having sex. So like to have, and I did miss one scene to go back on my own details. There is this really, I'd say it's the best scene of the whole movie where there is a gaggle of high school chicks. Okay. Like literally 50 sitting on bleachers. And there's the mean girl. Yeah. Popular girl with big hair. She's like walking, pacing back and forth on the highest
like
bleachers.
Like a general pattern scene.
Yeah. And she's like, ladies, like you must do this and they won't last long. And so she's clearly the only girl who's had sex. Yeah. And I'm like, really?
You have to use condom instead of birth control.
They go, should we get birth control? And she's like, ladies, it's too late for that. We're doing this tonight. It won't even work by then. And she's like, so my suggestion would be to use condoms because the pullout method doesn't work well either. And then they're like, well, what about orgasms, clitoral or vaginal? And she goes, look, unless you're masturbating, it's never going to happen. And I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. This is so terrible. And all of them looked so deflated. Like, oh my God, this sucks. So she's basically giving them the ropes. So she's teaching them the ropes. And it was pretty fucking hilarious. So then they all bust out of the school. They're all like flying out to go, you know, get to this party, which I'm like, how are they all allowed to go to this party, by the way? And sometime back at the police barracks, they're talking about like, how do we find
barracks?
They're like, how do we find the party? You know, what do we do? And I guess, as you said, the, what do you call it? Like the, not superior, the person underneath of the cop, she calls him to check in on him while he's in West Virginia and says something like, well, are you going to be back in time? And he's like, probably not. And she goes, well, I'm going to try to go to this party, but what should I do? And he goes, just treat it like every other party. If they're not like doing drugs or anything, just leave the party alone. Because what he wants is his daughter to have sex that night at that party. He wants everybody to have sex. So we should say what's happening in West Virginia right now. He found a house. An old house.
So this
you
is
said,
weird, right?
That's a kind of a cute house. And I remember in my head like, you fucking crazy?
It was. Like, I mean, it was run down.
It was totally run down.
Yeah, it was run down. So he goes into this house and he's like searching around, run down. Like, the doors are missing and like no one lived there for years. So he goes downstairs in the basement and he finds a baby carriage and then in what looked like something like a baby was wrapped in a little blanket. Then it's like, you know, he builds to this moment where he's like, oh my God, there's a dead baby down here. And of course not, right? It's a doll. So he finds nothing.
But
he walks out. He walks out to his car. And then we see a figure looking at him from inside the house.
With long black hair.
Which is, I mean, like, if you thought, it's...
I was like, come on. This whole house is like broken down, but there's like no walls left. How would this person be hiding? And how would they be in West Virginia?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it was her.
No.
I don't know.
Cherry Falls too.
Okay, so but the main takeaway is that it looks like Texas Chainsaw Massacre House, but with baby shit everywhere.
Yeah.
And so Mr. Cop Dad.
He comes back.
But he looks a little worried. And so he heads back into town and he goes to the school to find Principal whatever his last name is, right? And what does he find? Principal whatever his face is dead.
Dead.
And what's on his face?
Virgin not.
not. Yeah.
Carved into his forehead.
Whatever.
And then he has like they carved like a fake smile. Right?
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, I totally missed that. Because I just started laughing really hard. I was like, virgin not.
So it's like, not only that, it's like this person is getting revenge.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So anyway, before he can like do anything or get away, all of a sudden Brent, which is the cop, dad cop, he gets knocked in the head really hard, like immediately, and falls to the ground. All right. So.
Go ahead.
What?
No,
you go ahead.
I was going to say the next scene, then it cuts to Brittany Jody.
Brittany Jody.
Yeah. she goes to her t- teacher's house to get some advice.
Because she's refusing to go to the orgy party. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And she sees Mr. Marliston out front of the house, and he's like dragging like a big trunk into the house, having a hard time doing so. So she puts her bike down, and she's like, hey, can I help you?
I'll help you.
We've seen that she and the teacher have had a really good relationship the whole time.
Flirting, it's
like awkward flirting. Yeah. But basically, she gets a lot of advice from him. So she's going to get advice from him. And when she shows up, she's helping him carry this trunk in the house. And he opens up the door to a basement, and they're trying to like gently put it in. But then he winds up just like pushing it, and it goes all the way down the steps really fast. And she goes, she turns and looks at him and goes, What's in the trunk? And he goes,
jokingly,
it's your dad and maybe mine.
Yep. And then she's like, what?
What?
And she like opens the trunk, and sure enough,
because she runs down the steps, opens it up, and Bloody Pops is in the...
And sure enough, her father's in the trunk. He's still alive, he's bloody.
Totally bloody.
And then she gets knocked down.
Damn, you just got knocked the fuck out.
Yeah. She gets knocked down, and then like she comes to, and when she comes to... She's like,
laying
up.
Down on a like
a chair, like an operating chair,
table, and he's in a chair, like a dentist chair.
And then there's like torture,
meaning the dad,
torture devices and tools all over
like,
the wall.
For being a teacher on a teacher's salary, Mr. Marliston has spent a lot of money on tools. Let me just tell you, tools are not cheap. So I don't really know how he afforded all of those tools. Just saying. So anyway, he starts
to explain
everything. Yeah. And she goes, I already know I already know about my dad and Laura
my
Lee
dad's
or whatever.
A rapist.
Yeah, my dad's a rapist. Like, I don't need you to tell me because I already know. You're not going to hurt me with the news. And he is like, yeah, but you need to know the whole story. So he starts telling the backstory. And so we see a flashback in time to Laura Lee Sherman was basically a, you know, I'm not being mean, but she was like a nerdy girl. She had really bad frizzy hair. She did have a white stripe.
Borderline goth type,
I guess. I don't even know. That didn't exist. He said 27 years ago. Yeah. So now we know Mr. Marliston is 27 years old. So Jay Moore is 27 years old in this movie. I don't believe that. But he says, so 27 years ago, Laura Lee, he says, my mother... So Laura Lee is his mother. He says, of course I wasn't there, but she was broken down on the side of the road. And four guys showed up on, you know, driving past her. Yes, they were drunk. And they go up to her and they start messing around with her. And she's saying like, get away, leave me alone. I just need help. Give me a ride. And your father here, you know, he... basically, you see in the past, like, her dad is really drunk and actually falls down to the ground.
He doesn't even comprehend what's going on.
Yeah, he's so wasted. Yeah. And so then the other three guys, they're really picking on Laura Lee. And so Mr. Marliston's still telling us the story. We're still seeing it happening. They basically, like, pick her up and they take her and they lay her down on this picnic table.
Well, she says she calls one of them homo.
Oh, yeah.
And that, like, triggers this
something.
Which is so freaking
so
stupid. Which
up.
Means one of them was homosexual.
I don't know.
No, I'm just saying. There was a thing that I read, like New York Times, whatever. Like, there was statistics where it was like when someone is homophobic, like there's some like highly chance that they are also gay.
Hmm.
Yeah. It was interesting. You should read it.
But that doesn't parallel with her calling him a homo.
So then he gets angry.
Oh.
Right.
Okay.
And he, yeah.
I got it.
Is what I'm saying.
Okay. So she's like, she says this to tell them to get away from her, but then they pick her up in retaliation and go and slam her on a picnic table that's kind of off the side of the road too.
Yep.
And they start, unfortunately, tearing her clothes off. They tear her bra off. And then this is just super strange. But
Go ahead.
And so he says, and it was your father that raped my mother. And so when we see what happens, though, and then the dad actually starts telling the story, and he says, they came over and they grabbed me. And we literally see the three boys, like, pick him up.
After all three of them went, that's what he says. They say they all took turn. And he goes,
see, I missed that.
He said.
It looked like they only had him
do it. You're right. They didn't show it. They didn't show it, but he goes, and then
they came over, they picked me up.
They all went, he goes, one after another, like mad.
Okay.
Whatever. Blah, blah, blah.
And then they get him. And then basically the scene is so fucking stupid, though. It's like all three boys, like, basically taking him and moving him like a dummy to rape her. And he's like, but this is the weird thing. He's sitting there like crying. The dad is crying like when he's telling it. And he's like, but I knew what I was doing. But I knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
I knew it.
He's like, I let it happen.
And I'm like, okay, they're literally taking you and doing it for you. That makes no sense. So then they kind of show in the past, he kind of comes to, and like she just kind of like slowly pushes him off of her. And it's a really just sad, kind of awkward little scene.
Yeah.
And
he finds out that she was actually had a huge crush on him.
Yeah. So then Mr. Marliston goes and grabs all these letters.
Yeah.
And these are letters that his mother had written to, the cop dad, that she had never given to him because she was secretly in love with him the whole time that they were in high school together. And he was like, you asshole, she was in love with you the whole time. And that's why she was hoping that you could help her when she broke down. And that's why she like came to you and not the three kids, the three other guys that walked up.
I hate this part because I think it really distracts. I know you don't disagree.
I don't disagree.
Deep down in your heart, you don't disagree. But it's just, I think, in my opinion, it distracts from the real horror that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was in love with you, blah, 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 blah. And there's part of us that are sort of disappointed as a viewer watching it. You're like, oh, but it's like, no, what the fuck? It's not about the fact that she was in love with him. It's about what they did to her
a
few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
No, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. I think, like, in my mind, this is our first time seeing who the real killer is. And then we're saying, oh, wow, this guy might be the son of this cop who raped this woman. And so even though the cop already knows he committed a terrible crime, and, we definitely don't. I will say this, like, the writers definitely don't make us feel as angry at this rapist as we should be feeling, right? But what we're doing is...
You're coming to my side.
No, you're going to come to my side. No, ready? Because what I'm about to say is this. He's this dad now. He seems like a good dad. He's a cop. He's like, keeping the law together, whatever. But maybe. But now we're being reminded that he's a rapist, and we're seeing the backstory, and we're being told what happened. But he already knows that, right? So now this teacher, son guy, he gets to tell him one new thing, one new bit of information that, the cop never knew.
Let's not forget he covered for his friends.
He did. He covered for his friends too. I'm not saying he's a good person. What I'm saying is this scene to me is about making him, he already knows he's a rapist. He already knows he's covered it for so many years. This teacher son guy is now trying to tell him one new piece of information to make him feel even worse about the situation. That's all I'm saying. Like, he goes, and guess what, asshole? She was always in love with you. So she wanted to trust you and she loved you, and you did this to her. So the scene is, to me, like, it's trying to make him feel even worse for the situation that happened.
For him. Yep.
And it's him just trying to get some kind of retribution or revenge on this guy and make him feel even shitty about the situation that hopefully he feels shitty about. I mean, he should, right? He's a terrible human being, as all of the guys were that he let go scot-free. So it's like this teacher son guy, he's trying to surprise him in some way, because what else is he going to do? Like, hey, you rate my mom? Like, it's my mom, But then the next surprise is even worse, right?
We have same color eyes, motherfucker.
We have the same color eyes. So you definitely are my daddy. Hey, pops. What I was going to say is then you see flashbacks to his childhood, and you see him as a little teeny kid in that like nasty ass house. And you see, this is what's worse. Laura Lee Sherman is a horrible, beating mother, horrible human being.
Because
of the rape, because she was raped, and because she had a baby with a rapist, basically. Or, this baby was born because of a rape.
It's such really bad, lazy writing.
So now they've turned the victim into the
monster,
yeah. An antagonist, a terrible yeah. antagonist who,
it's in a way, victim blaming as well,
and
yeah.
and also causes the serial killer that she has, you know, bared. You know, she's like yeah. created a serial killer. Yeah.
It's like,
she's,
it's like saying, oh, she created this thing,
yeah.
like physically and nurtured him,
yeah.
as
yeah.
well.
And so he goes, she never once in my whole childhood like ceased to remind me that the guy that she was in love with raped her and created me, you know?
So, yeah.
So that was just, you know, the next kind of bit of surprise is that she was a terrible mom and raised him terribly. And so that's what I was saying. Like, when he went to the house in West Virginia, was that Laura Lee?
Right.
Like, maybe she's still in that house.
Who knows? That's why I was like, part two?
Because
like,
the
teacher
was in town.
Yeah, I mean.
So I think Laura Lee's still there.
I mean, trying to figure out bad storytelling and yeah. try to make logic, you know, rational.
Yeah, it's super weird.
Yeah.
So essentially, Mr. Marlston, now that he's thrown a bunch of love letters at the dad and the dad's like, no, he goes over to Jody laying on the table and he takes her skirt and pulls it up and she's got her leg stitched up right on her kind of femoral artery area from when he cut her before when he was chasing her through the school, and he takes a huge knife and he's about to cut at her again, right? Mm-hmm. And we should say, by the way, we've seen a couple flashes of,
I like how there were stitches already in there, like she went to the doctors and got stitches. Did
well,
you
she
see
did
that?
She did the first cut, remember? It was the when she got attacked the first time and then she went back to the police station and they definitely stitched her up.
At the police station?
Maybe. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe dad did it because they had a close relationship. So anyway, we did see a couple scenes of the big sex party. And it's like all of the high school students are there. And they're all like dancing to yeah. sexy music. And they're all, yeah. they are all like into it. Seriously into it.
Yeah. It cuts back and forth.
Yeah. So basically, Brittany Murphy, Jody, is about to get her thigh cut once again. And he does start cutting her, but not before Kenny, the boyfriend who just won't give up, right? He won't give up until he gets some. He was at the sex party and he was hitting on another girl and they were kissing and making out. And she puts her hands down his pants and it makes him like realize he doesn't want her. He wants Jody. So for whatever reason, he thinks that Jody might be at Mr. Marliston's house because he knows that they have a good relationship. So he goes over there, starts ringing the doorbell the second that Mr. Marliston is about to cut his sister's, his half-sister's thigh open. And Kenny is ringing the doorbell and he's like, open up. And is Jody in here? Because he saw her bike. Oh. And Mr. Marliston puts on a robe because what does he have to cover up? Oh, the black dress or black skirt or whatever and the nylons he's wearing.
Never mind the makeup that he had
right.
on his face.
He had just put some lipstick on.
Which Kenny notices too.
So,
yeah.
So he opens up the door dressed like Hugh Hefner.
And, yeah, he actually does.
And Kenny's like, where's Jody? He's like, not here. And it's like, well, Jody's bike's right here. And he's like, no, it's not. And of course, basically, Kenny is about to get stabbed, but he sees him, Mr. Marlston, raising a knife, and he kind of pushes him, slams him, pushes him out front of the house, and then basically like slams the door shut and locks it, runs to go find Jody, runs downstairs in the basement, uncuffs her, gets her untied. They start untying dad, who had been trying to like work at, you know, getting himself free too. And Mr. Marlston grabs an axe from his woodpile, gets in the house, runs downstairs. It's a rush to see who's going to get away or get killed. And essentially, Mr. Marlston comes down the stairs and unfortunately stabs the dad right in the neck.
Yeah.
And but the dad actually had grabbed another tool and stabbed Mr. Marlston in the
of
leg,
course.
Which was good enough to let Kenny and Jody run free. And where do they run? The sex party, for whatever reason. You know, this makes zero sense. I guess the only sense that it makes is that they know that all the police officers are there to, you know,
watch over all five of them,
basically like be chaperones at the sex party that they're not breaking up. And they run up and they're trying to tell a cop, like, it's Mr. Marlston. He's the killer. He's killed everybody and he just killed my dad.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? And look, going back to that thing that we always say, like, there's always an idiot cop in every movie. Like, really? And guess who comes up behind him? And he goes, hey, best line of the movie for sure. He goes, I can't leave my beat or whatever he said. He goes, I can't just split.
Yeah.
And
then what happens? His head splits. With an axe.
So Mr. Marlison takes the axe, splits him in the head. They scream. They run inside the sex house. Now, at this point, they're in a mansion or something, okay? And the entire first floor was full of kids, like, dancing early in the night. Now there's just her best friend and that boy that they were trying to hook him up with, like, in the cafeteria early. They're the only kids dancing. Floor is a mess. There's shit everywhere. And so you don't know where all the other kids are yet. But Jody and Kenny come running in the house. They run up the steps. You never run up the stairs in a scary movie. Come on. And when they run up the steps really fast, there is basically a pile of bodies having sex on the floor upstairs, which is totally ridiculous.
Naked, making out.
All these having sex kids.
Well.
And she goes like this.
Then actually, yeah.
Well, like, I mean, you just see. Yeah, yeah. You just kissing, see bodies underneath
kissing,
the.
Kissing, sheets.
You know what's happening, Minky, okay?
It's not like a huge, like.
Do I have
like,
to explain this to you?
No, I'm just saying, like, to get a better visual for the listeners, it's not like a huge orgy.
They're all partnered off, but they're all in the same room. And so basically Jody, she's a total cock blocker, and she just starts screaming, "Everyone, Mr. Marlison's the murderer." And it's like, why in the fuck would she do that? Like, why? So Kenny and her basically like ruin the whole party. And what happens? Mr. Marlison, with his wig back on, acting as Mommy Dearest, like runs up the stairs with his axe or knife.
Oh, knife.
And just starts going to town on every. They all stand up. They're all screaming. Slashing. There's blood everywhere.
Which makes sense, right?
It's so ridiculous, though. It's like, I go, okay, I blame Brittany Murphy on this one. Like, she drew the killer to come like into this house full of people, right? Right. And basically they're like running through the house trying or like upstairs. And there's only one small stairwell to get downstairs. And so this is when the cops are all running in the house at the same time as all the kids are trying to run down the stairs.
And there's a
huge bottleneck and all the kids are stuck. Right. And the woman police officer, she's like stuck underneath of this pile of kids. Everybody breaks the stairs. They fall, come crashing down to the first floor. It's a hot mess.
Yeah.
Brittany Murphy, Jody is trying to like find a place to hide. She sees like people having sex in every little like nook and cranny of the house, and she's like, stay right there. And she comes back out, and then Kenny and her kind of find each other again just as Mr. Marlison comes in and unfortunately stabs him real good. Slices him in the chest. And then Brittany Murphy, you know what? She's going to pay homage to her pops and what he taught her. And she's standing up against a window doing her Brittany Murphy eyes and crying face.
He comes after her. In slow motion. What does she do?
She uses the body move to like use.
The Aikido move, whatever.
Use his force against his own self. And she basically moves out of the way just in time to have him come crashing over the window and down into.
The picket fence,
like down in front of the yard. And all these kids have been running out half naked or mostly naked at the same time. So they see him get impaled. And guess what? What's the name of this podcast, Minky?
One Final Scare.
And why do we call it One Final Scare?
Because a lot of movies have this trick. They do at the end. It's like, oh, is it over?
Is he dead? Is the killer dead? Is the monster dead? And nope, they always come back one final for one final scare, right?
Yeah.
Just as he does in this movie.
He wakes,
And so they all think he's dead. And her best friend's new little boyfriend goes over to be like, oh my God, he's dead. And he goes and he like touches him. And then, oh, Mr. Marlison wakes up and he takes.
Grabs him by the hair. And then everyone screams.
And he pulls his knife up on the other hand to like stab him in the head.
And then the cop appears with two guns. What in each hand, like John Woo, like Chow Yun Fat in The Killers, and just goes.
And she's like, pow, 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 pow.
Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da. So much
that
she tears the hand off of him. So that kid is shocked and he's sitting back, and there's a ripped hand, a death grip to his hair.
Oh my God.
And he's just sitting there like, what the hell?
So hilarious. So stupid. I was like, there's no way. I would like to see that on a Mythbusters. Can you use two handguns and like shoot someone's hand off that well? Like,
if you were just aiming for that,
there's no way though.
If you were just
aiming. She's like,
I know she wasn't. I know she wasn't.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway, it was a pretty funny, ridiculous little move there. But essentially. He dies.
Yep.
He's dead. He's shot up. And all the kids are like hovering over each other, crying in their bras and underwear.
Yeah.
And probably forever scarred and never want to have sex ever again.
And then next day, what happens next day?
What does happen the next day?
You remember, like, everything's okay. You know, like, you know, and then she is with her boyfriend, with her mom, with her boyfriend.
It's her and her mom.
Yeah,
her and mom. They go to the police station and they're giving their statement.
That's
well, Jody's
is.
Giving her
That's
whole statement about what has happened for the whole night, and the investigator is questioning her and saying,
"Oh, this
why?
Is the other horrific part. That's right.
This is the worst part.
This is
this
the cover
is the
up.
Worst.
This is the cover up
part of the whole fucking movie.
The FBI's are questioning." Why?
Why was Mr. Marliston having you and your father in the basement? I don't know.
Yeah, and tied up and all.
Any
these
idea why whatever. He'd want to be a murderer?
Yeah,
I don't know.
All these questions, and they just cover it. They like not even just cover up.
They
don't
smile
say anything,
about
and
it.
They smile,
and they
about
get in
it.
The car and drive away.
Not just a family member. The cop that works with him, like didn't say. She just sat there and she like mum and smile, cover up his
horrific secret.
Yeah.
That he's a rapist.
Covering the attacker like, in his history. Because why? Because he was
he's
a sheriff.
Good guy?
Yeah, he's a sheriff. He was a good guy, the sheriff, you know, at this town.
Hey, at least he wasn't a crazy murderer, like a woman who beats her kid.
Yeah. He's not the one that set the whole thing in, you know, into motion.
Right.
No, not at all. You know? Yeah. So that was bad. So like they walk out of the police station. And then she looks over across the street and there is
Laura Lee Sherman.
Something that looks like her.
Looks like her.
And then the bus drives by, covering her up, and then she disappears.
Yep.
Yeah.
From the streets of Richmond slash Cherry Falls.
And then
we see
the waterfall again.
The waterfall
from the beginning of the movie.
And it just turns totally red.
And it turns red.
Cherry
and it's
red.
Like cherry red.
Cherry
it's
Falls.
Like, oh my God, look at those effects.
It's basically what happens when a hymen breaks.
Like,
you know that's what that shit's about. Yeah, let's be honest. I don't think I had to say it, but just need to paint the picture for the listeners. Am I right? So
and you just drink it up.
That's
just
the end.
Take your reward.
So what if we put together a recipe of movies to make this movie? What would we? I would say.
I'll say this. The movie itself, I didn't. Even though there's a special movie for me. I didn't like it, right? It's clear. It's not a very good movie, but say this.
But you love it because you were in it. You made me watch this.
I'll say this.
I actually watched this many, many years ago. And so the only thing I could remember was that the teacher was the killer. And I remember that there was sex involved
I couldn't remember anything else. Yeah. I couldn't remember. I eventually found out. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you were guessing a little bit. I'm like, you don't remember?
It was a long time
ago. The only thing I could remember was Jay Moore like wearing that stupid ass
and
wig.
The thing is, like, it actually had a decent premise.
I was biting your pen. Oh. Sorry.
It actually had a decent premise. And under a better writer, I think it could have been a decent slasher film.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it just everything near the end, everything was just treated. The whole, like, the pop the cherries party and it was just ridiculous.
I like that because
of course you do.
No, I'll tell you why.
I'm sure you will.
This to me like fits really well with like
what
like
tell me
freedom,
now
freedom and like feminism and
freedom.
All of that. Yeah, let me tell you. So if every other movie is like you only survive if you're the virgin. What is that doing?
Let's just flip
that's
it.
That's telling girls
just
that
it. It's gimmicky.
No, it's not though. If you're saying like, hey, females, if you're promiscuous, you're gonna die.
It wasn't just females though.
I understand, Minky, but listen to me. Every other movie is like, if you are the virgin, you're the only one who's gonna survive, right? So this movie's like, fuck that, own it, live it, earn it, whatever. Like, have the sex, you'll be the ones who are saved. And essentially, Scream kind of did that with Neve Campbell's character. Like once she finally did have sex with her boyfriend who was trying to talk her into it the whole time, she became into like a total amazingly awesome badass who like.
And you think that's a better storytelling because of that?
I didn't say it's a better storytelling. I'm saying you're taking horror movies, like these themes of horror movies that are like, oh, you shouldn't have sex. You shouldn't be promiscuous. Don't be a slut. It's like slut shaming when you're saying like, if you are, how many horror movies have you seen? Like the girl that has the sex is like the one show, like bearing too much skin and like being.
Is the one that dies?
Slutty. Yeah. She's always the one that dies.
Okay.
That's fucked up.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. So it's good to be like, hey, you know what? Have like a freedom of your expression and, you know, have a, make your choices, do what you
want
to do.
Do what you want, but we'll protect the rapist and then bury that
that's
story.
The different part. That's the bad part of the movie. Okay. That's the bad part of the movie. I think like, I think their heart was in the right place with that.
Oh, well, no, they were.
Listen
wasn't.
To me. Let me finish. I think their heart was in the right place with like turning that on its head and being like, no, sexual empowerment, blah, blah, blah. But then they forgot that they were making a rapist. I think
you gave a little too much credit. I think it was a little gimmicky. And it says, hey, you know how like the horror genre, the movie does this. It's just, flip that and do this. Okay. It wasn't like anything.
I don't, okay.
It wasn't
whatever.
Brain surgery. You know all what right. I mean? It was just like, okay, just do that. But then they completely wrote this part of it, which is like victim blaming. And
yeah, no, was, that that was fucked up.
I'm not sure if that was like part of the time, like it's the way when it was written or when it was, you know, I mean, you know, like other movies like Rush Hour. I watch Rush Hour now and I cringe. But when I first saw it for the first time, I was like, I didn't.
It was a fun movie.
So is it like a cultural.
We're growing thing, up. We are growing you know? Up. We're like awakening to just bad themes and movies and like fucked up storylines and
that was subtle and we don't. Yeah,
I mean racism, all of that stuff. Like that fucking space movie that with the Dracula movie. I mean, my God, I don't know if that was overt just to
that
be
was 2002.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. I don't know if that was overt just to be overt and like I don't think so. Like it was just playing into every stereotype possible. I think this is just missing something, man.
And they were both directed by foreigners.
So one was
Australian.
This guy director was Australian.
And the other one was South African.
But
right?
The writer was not, Australian. I don't think. No,
it was his brother, you said.
No. One of the producers was the brother too, I think. Gotcha. I think anyway. The writer. I don't know much about these guys. But anyway, what I was going to say is the recipe to this movie. I know usually I'm like movies that, you know, this kind of reminds me of or like parts of it. So I'd say like this was one part Psycho, you know, with the fact that we've got son dressing up like mommy and kind of channeling mommy in some way, shape or form. We've got one part Valentine, which I had to pull up for you earlier. I actually really used to like that movie. And if I watch it now, it's probably also just terrible. Mm-hmm. But it had Katherine Heigl and, oh my gosh, Denise Richards is in it. It's like all the guy who played, what was the Buffy the Vampire Slayer like spinoff show where the guy?
Angel.
The guy that played Angel, he's in it. Anyway, it's like all these characters, but everybody gets picked off one by one by one. And it's all about revenge. And you don't know who the person is or like why they're taking revenge on these people. Then I'd say it's like one part Prom Night. Right. Somebody coming in and killing off all these actual teenagers in a movie. Mm-hmm. And then one part Scream. Which was, this was made just a couple of years, I think, after the first Scream. So it's definitely, I think, taking some of it.
I was just looking up... This book was written way before, after the movie was written. But for some reason, the end of the movie reminded me of the ending scene in Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. You remember when she gets knocked down and she wakes up and she was like, wakes up in this room, this like killer room that's all sort of clean and all tied up and there's like torture devices everywhere. It just reminded me of that for some reason.
Well, and let me ask you this.
Visually.
Like, you just reminded me of... Uh-huh. How ridiculous it is to think that, again, I know I made this comment before on a teacher's salary, how you can buy all these fucking tools, but like, why would he have all these tools in his basement? What's he been doing down there? He only just started killing people.
I know.
And nobody in his basement.
I know.
God, I hate when I start poking holes in things.
I know.
All right. So a better ending would be what? Like.
We talked about it.
We did?
Off air.
What did we say?
I don't know about better ending.
They should have been like.
There's definitely a better storytelling.
I also think it's crazy that she got so mad at her mom for hiding the fact when her mom finally was like, it was your father. And now she's like, he didn't do anything. You know, like now she's like her mom and like hiding is, it's just, I know we've already said it, but like it is ridiculous. Yeah. That part's ridiculous. So the ending should have been like,
they could have totally taken out.
They fucking outed the dudes that were the rapists.
Oh, they could have, first of all, they could have totally taken out the part where, oh, she was in love with you. Whatever.
Sure, doesn't whatever. Matter, right? I disagree, but okay, go ahead.
Because the impact, it doesn't matter because the impact is the same. I'm your son. Because what happened to the other two dudes? They're just roaming around. What the F?
Man? I don't even know why the story had to be that there were four dudes and two of them went away.
Right? Like, because it's lazy. Because they didn't want to juggle Explain four it. Characters. Yeah.
Why wouldn't they just say it's two guys?
Yeah.
A principal and the dad. Right. That's it. Right. Just leave it at that. I know. That was my stomach. I think I'm hungry.
There's some more fried rice in there.
Oh, nice.
Fried rice. There's some more fried rice in
there. Stop it. Don't do that. Oh, my God. Anyway, so...
So, this time, we don't have...
Do it again.
You don't get the whole thing.
Ding.
Because we don't have a letter this week.
We don't have a letter this week, but we're going to have a letter next week because y'all are going to write us, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
How about this? Write us an email and tell us what movie you want us to watch or cover, please.
Shock us, surprise us,
find us something,
disgust us.
Yes, get us to watch something that we poke holes through and we argue about, please.
Yeah.
So write us onefinalscare@gmail.com. It's really easy. It's onefinalscare@gmail.com. Just send us a friggin' email, please.
And Instagram?
Instagram. We're on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We post pictures, you know, sometimes often, sometimes not.
Depending on how busy we are.
Yeah. Just depends on how busy I am in my life.
But we're usually, pretty consistent.
Yeah, I think so. And so hit us up. Message us. And then also, if you're interested, Minky just bought a really cool fucking pair of Vans from, what's the company called?
Baggins.
There's a company called Baggins.
In Canada.
Where you can pick like your pair of shoes and then Vans. You can upload.
They're all Vans.
You pick your pair of Vans, you upload your artwork, and then you get a pair of shoes. And so he got a pair of black Vans with white trim on it.
Check it out.
And
check it out.
We posted
on our
a picture
Instagram.
Of them on our Instagram and
it's
Facebook.
Beautiful.
So now he's literally a walking promotion, and our listeners are definitely growing, and it's probably because
our show also promote.
What?
Our show on June 18th.
Oh, okay. So anyway, what I was going to say is thank you for being a listener. Our numbers are definitely steady rising. We checked our RSS stats, and each month we're just like super happy. It's like it's doubling. So whoever you are listening, thank you so much. And please write us. We love you. And if you are interested in merch at all, go to Redbubble. Just search for us in the search field, One Final Scare. You'll find our page. You can get whatever you want. Wear our shirts, do whatever you want. If you will, take a picture of yourself and send it to us, or, post it and tag us. And, so June 18th, if you're in the DC area, June 18th?
Yeah. Laugh Index Comedy Festival.
Yep. And it's the 11 o'clock showing. There's three live podcasts.
And we're the second.
One just got added, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're the second. Yeah.
There's three 30-minute shows. I have no idea how we're going to get condense this down to 30 minutes. I don't even know what we're going to do, but we'll figure it out.
I mean, if you're local, come watch us. It's at Flashpoint.
Yeah.
DC. It's on G Street.
Yep.
Northwest. We're going to do a live podcasting, and I'm going to be wearing my Vans. You're going to be wearing the t-shirt, right?
I'll wear a t-shirt or something. I don't know. Maybe I won't.
And we're going to review, I think, a short that we're going to
We don't know yet. Yeah. We're not going to commit to anything. We're just going to we're just going to like banter for 30 minutes probably and not even talk about. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. No, but we'll have it figured out. And so hopefully, if you come, if you're interested, come watch us in person. It'll be really fun. Maybe we can get drinks afterwards. And so anyway, next episode, what are we watching?
I don't know.
Let's pick.
Something new?
Something new. I think you should have to go watch Life because I already watched Life.
Maybe Life. Maybe.
Okay. Maybe Life.
So anyway, this is Minky.
We will post something on our Instagram and Facebook page if you are interested if we change the movie.
Music ended.
You know what? Music ended. It doesn't matter. What's your name?
Minky.
And this is Tracy.
Signing off.
Bye.
Bye.